Be careful what you wish for. Ever get that feeling that something might be hanging around?
Good day, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Paranormal Encounters podcast series. The producer and host of this series is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. She will be joining you shortly. Before we meet Dr. Schutz, let me give you some background about her. She is a published author and academic, former legal investigator, and paranormal enthusiast, who holds 4 advanced degrees in the area of higher education and applied communications, with a secondary interest in parapsychology and life-after-death issues. Dr. Schutz travels to haunted locations all over the United States and Europe, seeking out situations to investigate. A sensitive intuitive, Dr. Schutz has had numerous experiences with the paranormal since the age of 9, with her most frightening and recent experience being an oval-shaped floor-length mirror cycling around in front of her in a haunted room she had stayed in. She has photographed apparitions in a screened window, been kicked up into the air, been sat on, choked, put into a trance, attacked, and continuously sought out by the unknown who want to share a message with her. From her personal experiences and in interviewing others, she has written nearly 100 illustrated stories in her book series entitled Paranormal Encounters. The Paranormal Encounters podcast series will initiate with Dr. Schutz first discussing a variety of interesting topics, as well as her personal experiences that will evolve into other segments for your interest, enjoyment, and education. Each podcast episode will be approximately 45 minutes long. Dr. Schutz welcomes your questions and comments. How to contact her, or ways to order her books, will be mentioned at the end of this podcast.
Welcome to another episode of Paranormal Encounters podcast series, as published by Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz, your producer and host of this show. Are you ready for another interesting show? Well then, just sit back and relax. Just a reminder that all episodes can now be heard on YouTube and Twitter. To find an episode on YouTube, just type in Paranormal Encounters podcast series into the search bar and identify a segment that interests you. And if you love to read and are intrigued by true stories, go to Amazon.com or Kindle, and my books can be found on pages 1, 2, 3. Recent releases are Book 6 entitled Through a Child's Eyes and Book 7 entitled Haunted Phenomena. All of my books are wonderfully illustrated and contain interesting paranormal encounters from myself as well as everyday people. If you would like to view my book covers and their descriptions, go to my website at www.paranormaluniversalpress.com. That's www.paranormaluniversalpress.com. So, let's get started. Here is what is on the agenda for this episode. In segment 1, Paranormal Topics, the topic for this week will be reincarnation. Segment 2, Beyond the Grave. I will be interviewing Sammy, who has experienced some very interesting paranormal incidents since the age of 14. Segment 3, Ghosts in the News. A voice talent will report an interesting news story about a ghostly sighting to enlighten even the most skeptical ghost disbeliever. Segment 4, a very popular segment called Maynard and Mildred. Maynard continues to interact and be picked on by Mildred, even though Maynard doesn't quite believe in ghosts. And segment 5, a new segment called Life Beyond Death, as narrated by a voice talent, will take us to an alleged haunted location to explore the mysteries of one or more energies that are still hanging around. If you have a story you would like to share, please write to my email at krschutz1@yahoo.com. That's krschutz1@yahoo.com. Before we get started on the first segment, let's have a word from this podcast series sponsor.
Donate. Simply click the button that says Donate on the podcast page located on the right-hand side to contribute to this program. We appreciate your willingness to pay it forward.
This segment is called Paranormal Topics. The topic for discussion will be reincarnation. This is the educational portion of the podcast. The most common definition of reincarnation is the rebirth of a soul into a new body. Let's expand this definition further by adding a person or animal whose soul is believed to be reborn. Reincarnation is implied to be, from a philosophical or religious standpoint, that of a living being that starts a new life in a different body after he, she, or animal reaches its end of life. This rebirth is part of a cyclic existence, otherwise known as the cycle of life. According to research dating back in time, researchers and paranormal investigators alike have routinely investigated incidents of old souls appearing in new bodies. While many scientists dispel the notion of reincarnation as a myth, some experts believe it to be a genuine phenomenon. The idea that upon a person's death, the soul, mind, or consciousness is transferred into a newborn has been the interest of Dr. Ian Stevenson, former professor of psychiatry at the University of Virginia School of Medicine and former chair of the Department of Psychiatry and Neurology up until his death in 2007. Dr. Stevenson claimed to have found over 3,000 examples of reincarnation during his time while studying this phenomena in the scientific community. Dr. Stevenson used facial recognition to analyze similarities between the claimant and their alleged prior incarnation while also studying birthmarks. As reported in an article by Sunday Express entitled, Revealed, The Scientific Proof That Shows Reincarnation is Real, the birthmarks that were studied by Dr. Stevenson were, in most cases, rare types. In cases in which a deceased person was identified that corresponded with the rebirth of a child, the details on each of their bodies, such as birthmarks or defects, were matched and analyzed. In many of these cases, family genetics were ruled out because the subjects were not related. The article goes on to report that in 43 of 49 cases in which a post-mortem medical document was obtained, it confirmed that there was a strong correspondence or relationship between a wound and a birthmark in its comparison to individuals in question. In separate studies, 3 children made claims that they remembered aspects of their previous lives, and in most cases, 92% of their statements were verified to be correct. So, let's take a closer look at past life through regression. There are many books, documentaries, and films that have told the stories of the average person who believe that they have encountered more than one life, more than one experience, and may have even recalled being on our planet during different phases in time. It is speculated that only parts of each other's person's soul incarnates, some more than others. The goal of any past life regression is to go into a person's collective memory to determine what it can be relayed and verified. Some researchers believe that reality is a consciousness experiment set in linear time to experience emotions. Some believe there is no past, present, or future, but rather multidimensional experiences the soul has simultaneously. Some call this a rebirth of consciousness. Let's first examine reincarnation through the eyes of children and those who have claimed to have had a past life experience. According to Dr. Erlander Haraldsson, professor at the University of Iceland, children who report memories of violent deaths in past lives may suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder. For example, he reports from the ages of 2 to 6 years old, children are more likely to talk about being someone else, often someone who experienced a trauma, such as a soldier who died in the line of fire, a pilot who crashed, or a murder victim. After the age of 6, they may lose interest or even forget what they had previously said. The memories, whether from past life or imagined, can have a negative psychological impact on the child, such as sudden images that they have encountered in the past, leaving home and family causing psychological devastation, debilitating phobias, and also flashbacks or nightmares in their dreams. The question now lies, is there a psychological explanation for all of this? Well, according to Dr. Haraldsson, there are 3 common themes of the patient who speaks of past life incidents that lead us to focus on who might be a candidate for a reincarnated experience. So let's take a look at some of these reasons. Number 1, the patient has usually been exposed to a stressful event or situation of an exceptionally threatening or catastrophic nature. Number 2, the patient must be persistent in remembering and reliving the stressor in intrusive flashbacks or vivid memories. And number 3, there is either an inability to recall or persistent symptoms of increased psychological sensitivity and arousal shown by any of these 2, difficulty falling asleep or staying awake, irritability and outbursts of anger, difficulty concentrating, or exaggerated startled responses. In most cases, the individual has difficulty concentrating. Sudden changes in mood and aggressiveness, though this really isn't enough proof that the episode of he or she has actually been through a reincarnation, are just some of the ideas or theories about who might be a candidate or who may have been reincarnated. Let's move this a little further. Research has also shown that 35% of children show an intense fear of the mode of death, the kind of avoidant behavior that is part of the criteria for post-traumatic stress disorder. So you have to really look at this from a couple of different standpoints. One, is this a natural occurring thing based on any type of environmental cues? Or 2, is this really the possibility that there might be a reincarnation that has been involved with this individual and this person is truly reliving something that they simply cannot explain? In a report by Epoch Times dated November 24, 2015, there are 10 outstanding cases of detailed, verifiable past life memories. And here they are. Number 1, 3-year-old remembers past life, identifies a murderer and location of body. Number 2, boy remembers wife and killer of the past life, finds them again. Number 3, fire chief investigates past life as a Civil War general. Number 4, child remembers past life as a World War II pilot, identifies vessel and the crash site. This is one story, by the way, that I talked about on my last episode It was by a child by the name of James Leininger, but the name of the World War II pilot was named James Houston. Another case, death by fire in Chicago, number 6. 4-year-old remembers past life in Hollywood. Number 7, boy remembers life as a monk in Sri Lanka. Number 8, Lebanese boy correctly tells details of his past life. Number 9, businessman remembers less from his past life. That one I'm not quite sure of. It doesn't even make much sense. Obviously, he remembers something from his past life, but I'll have to look at that a little closer. And 10, screenwriter of Gone with the Wind reincarnated in the Midwest. Okay, so there you have a few cases here that may or may not be truly convincing, but it sounds to me like they're on to something, since the most average, common, everyday person probably can't even tell you from 1 minute to the other what happened, you know, a few days prior. So what do you think? Do you think it's possible to die and come back in another person's body or an animal form? There have also been reports where some people remember or speak foreign languages or talk about places and things they could not have possibly known about. I know when I was in the 10th grade, where my teacher was actually telling us once about how he went over to, it might have been Germany, and that when he arrived in a certain location, he actually was able to tell those that he was with what resided around the corner when he had never been there before, and he was accurate. And so whether or not back then we weren't, the internet wasn't even that accessible. So something like that is truly remarkable. But the question ultimately is where did all this come from? I think he was trying to tell us that he was relatively psychic, but what he might have not known exactly here is that maybe he was recalling something from a past life regression, something like that. Okay, a couple more reports. A person who claimed he could play blackjack like a pro since he was a child, even without ever learning how to play it or watching anyone on how to do it. Number 2, a person who had been shot and killed in a war, and since being a child complained of always having chest pains but not having any medical condition identified or any scars or anything like that internally to demonstrate having those chest pains. Research has suggested that a person's previous incarnations can also shape certain aspects of their emotional dispositions as well as their physical body. For example, there is a case of these Burmese children who remember their previous lifetimes as a British or American Air Force pilot. They were shot down over Burma, with all of them having fair skin. These are children in a family, having fair skin and complexions as compared to their brothers and sisters who had the typical dark colored features. So, of course, then you need to ask the question on that one, was there something genetically different about them that may have caused these fair skin conditions, or were they able actually to remember more than just identifying these physical marks about them, whether or not there was more to it than that? And of course, that's what usually convinces people more so. Birthmarks is another one that have been studied by this Dr. Stevenson, and he devoted his research to trying to make connection between birthmarks and past lives. Now, that one's an interesting one when you think about it. Again, he had over 3,000 cases that he actually studied. So let's take a look at this a little further. There was also an article written by this Kendry Cushing, dated December 30th, 2014. It's called 10 Claims of Physical Evidence for Reincarnation. And here are the 10 most interesting yet unexplained cases. So number one, of course, is birthmarks. In parts of Asia, tradition dictated that when a person died, the relatives would mark their body with soot and hoping that the soul of the deceased would be reincarnated within the same family. As new members were born into the family, birthmarks were observed and believed to be that of an old soul. Okay, that's one. Number two, child born with bullet wounds. A child in Turkey remembered the life of a man who was killed by a shotgun. Hospital records told of a man who died after 6 days of injuries caused by a blast to his right side of his skull. Number three, the patient who killed and married her son. Dr. Weiss had done a past regression on his nurse by the name of Diane. Diane told of a story that involved a conflict of a young settler who was hiding from a Native American hunting party when she accidentally smothered her son, who was crying out at the time. In other words, she didn't want them to hear him. She was trying to keep him calm. He wouldn't stop crying, and in the process, she accidentally smothered him. She described the baby as having a birthmark shaped like a half moon or curved sword beneath his right shoulder. Months after having a life regression experience, Diane felt herself attracted to a patient who was having asthma attacks, only to discover this person as having a crescent-shaped birthmark in the place she described in her regression. Diane married her patient. Okay, now as odd as this might sound, okay, how coincidental is that? I know that when my husband and I first were dating, one of the things we had noticed about each other were that our hands, our fingers, looked identical, which is kind of strange when you think about it. We do not have any immediate tie to another regarding relatives or place of or even places where our relatives have homesteaded. And so here we always joke with each other how we're always brother and sister, you know, because our hands are practically identical. So how do you explain something like that? So when I read about this woman with the crescent-shaped birthmark, I think to myself, what is the likelihood that that could actually... I don't know. I can't explain it any more than I can explain why my husband's and my hands look alike. So anyway, there you have it. Number four, reincarnated handwriting. At the age of six, Taranjit Singh... Now, I don't know if this is a boy or girl. I don't know if this is a teen or an adult. Was living in a village in India. Oh, I guess it's a boy. The boy had been claiming since the age of two that his real name was Satnam Singh and that he was born in a small town about 40 miles away. Taranjit recalled that he was a student in a class of nine. The students were around 15 to 16 years of age at the time, and that a man on a scooter had collided with Satnam, his former soul, and killed him on September 10th, 1992. Now, what I find interesting about that is exactly 1 year before I got married. So it's not even something that happened a long, long time ago. This happened essentially within the last 25 years, which is fairly recent when you think about the paranormal and you think about, you know, so that's kind of fascinating itself. After the scientist examined his handwriting, comparing them to Taranjit's handwriting, they found them to be a near match. Okay, so I used to do handwriting analysis, and it's very, very interesting. And I can honestly say that no two people's handwritings are exactly alike. So when you find, there's got to be elements about the handwriting that make them suspiciously a match, okay? And so in this particular case, I would be fascinated to learn more about where they learned how to do their handwriting, where that all came from, if there's a particular style that they all had to copy at a particular age. After all, this boy had been technically born in a small town 40 miles away, so that would be something I would want to investigate further. Number 5, very common, you hear of this over and over again, born knowing another language. There's been lots of reports of people not even native to a country speaking perfect, the language, a different language perfectly. And I wish I could just speak one naturally, you know. I have a very hard time learning a second language. I've tried, and it just doesn't seem to want to stick in my brain. But that's fascinating for someone to... you hear of this, too, when people come out of, like, comas, or they've been in the hospital and they've had some kind of head trauma, and then all of a sudden they just start speaking this different language. It's very fascinating. Number 6, memories of monasteries. The case most mysterious is that of a young child who claimed to went to school for many years in a monastery. This is where he claimed to have learned to speak a language no one could understand. What makes it so interesting is that the child who was speaking this language wasn't even of school-going age yet, and had never stepped foot in a classroom. So that's interesting. Number 7, the burned Japanese soldier. Something to do with a Burmese girl named Mai Win Tar was born in 1962. So she's pretty close to my age. She's 54, 53, something like that. At the age of 3, she started referencing a life as a Japanese soldier. The soldier had been captured by the Burmese villagers and was burned alive while being tied to a tree. Ma Win Tar showed similar traits to that of the soldier. Here are some of the things. She liked to cut her hair short, liked to dress in boyish clothes, eat foods outside of her typical diet, and slap the faces of her playmates, which was an odd demeanor, but very typical to that of the Japanese soldiers, and considered herself to be a foreigner. Okay, so I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, my little girl loves to cut her hair short, and she loves to dress in boys' clothes. I think the thing that they're focusing more on here is the fact that she was slapping her playmates' faces in the same demeanor that the Japanese soldiers did. And then she also said she considered herself to be a foreigner. So there's probably lots to this one that they didn't report, but that's just an essence here on some of this stuff. Number 8. His brother's scars. In 1979, very close to when I graduated. I mean, these dates are just kind of like blowing me away because they are actually when I was alive, when all this stuff was happening. Kevin Christensen died at the age of 2, a leg broken at the age of 18 months, revealed he had cancer. When Kevin's mother remarried and had another child by the name of Patrick, she noticed similarities between the two children. When Patrick started walking, he limped, though he had no medical reason for it. He claimed he had a memory of going under surgery. When she asked him where the surgery occurred on his body, he pointed to an area just above his right ear, the same place where his brother had a nodule biopsied. Around the age of 4, he began asking about his old house, even though he had never lived in another home, and he described the paint colors inside and outside perfectly. All right, number 9. For all you cat lovers out there, let's go with cat memories, shall we? When John McConnell was fatally shot 6 times in 1992, my gosh, you know, again, these are all dates and years where I was actually very much alive and getting married and graduating from high school and, you know, all that. He left behind a daughter by the name of Doreen. Doreen gave birth to a son, William, in 1997. When William was born, he was diagnosed with pulmonary valve atresia, a congenital condition to which a faulty valve directs blood from the heart to the lungs. The right ventricle of his heart was also deformed. William's condition improved after numerous surgeries and treatment. When John was shot, one of the bullets entered his back, hitting his left lung and the main pulmonary artery in his heart. John's injuries and William's condition were a near match. One day, when William was trying to avoid discipline from his mother, who was Doreen, by the way, He said to her, "When I was your daddy, and you were bad a lot of the times, I never hit you." William then asked Doreen about a cat she had had as a child by the name of Boss. William could even verify the day John died and when he was born, and when he said he was, when this had all occurred, and he had said that God had told him that he was ready to come back. Interesting. Number 10, the in-between state. Dr. Brian Weiss became involved with past life regression through his own involvement with a patient by the name of Catherine. Catherine knew very little about him, but was able to tell him about his firstborn, who had died at 23 days old, and of pulmonary, when the pulmonary veins grew on the wrong side of its heart. Catherine knew the name of his father, who went by a Hebrew name, and his daughter, Amy, was named after her grandfather. This convinced Dr. Weiss of her regression claims, and this is what actually changed the course of his career. So, although there are several researchers who agree with Dr. Stevenson that reincarnation does exist, the most obvious objection to reincarnation is that there is no evidence of a physical process by which a personality could survive death and travel to another body. So this is very interesting. So they talk about how there might be physical marks and things due to trauma or maybe emotions, but the personality of the individual doesn't always transfer. Very interesting. Okay. Another fundamental objection is that most people simply do not remember their previous lives. Okay, so do you? That's my question to you right now. Do you remember your previous life? I do not remember anything, let alone anything right now, about what I did yesterday. However, I do recall when I was growing up, I used to have really bad nightmares. And maybe it was just because I was full, you know, I was kids growing up, hormones, depression, lots of anxiety. I used to dream a lot about being in these war battles, but with guns, more like civil war, and always being shot. I don't know. I always remember that, and that was always the point that I woke up, and I could not even tell you where that came from, but that's what I remember. Being very young and having these types of dreams, I really don't know where all this came from. It could be argued, though, that not all people reincarnate. There you have it. So far, it seems like many of these cases are these murder cases, devastation cases, things that cause just extreme trauma. Most studied have some sort of violent or untimely death. Yeah. Although there are many spiritual and religious theories that firmly believe that reincarnation does exist, and they may take different forms, one thing is certain: the evolution of the soul is one of the main laws of the universe. Spirits have new chances to learn and evolve by reincarnating into new bodies. Forgetfulness of the past, including previous lives, is a gift through which souls get a chance to overcome their past, paying their debts to their enemies and themselves, and acquiring new experiences for the future. Interesting stuff. I am sure that as we speak, somebody is continuing to study this phenomenon. Here ends this segment of this podcast for today. Let's take a break. When we return, we will move into segment 2, otherwise known as Beyond the Grave. In this segment, I will have the privilege of interviewing Sammy, who has had some very interesting paranormal experiences since the age of 14. Stay tuned. Well, something new for the Beyond the Grave segment. We're going to have our first interview today, and that interview is going to be with Sammy. Sammy is going to talk with us a little bit about her experiences with the paranormal. She has had numerous encounters since the early age of 14, and in speaking to her, I had found many of her stories to not only be familiar, but rather intriguing. So, welcome to Paranormal Encounters podcast series, Sammy.
Thank you for having me.
Certainly. So, Sammy, in speaking with you, it appears to me that you have had a gift for quite a long time in being able to pick up cues or making predictions that most of us aren't normally capable of doing. So, what age would you say did you first realize that you had this unusual gift?
Around 14. It was just kind of something odd, and it kind of began to progress into something a little more odder.
Okay. Can you tell me, like, at the age of 14, what was one of your first experiences that you remember?
I began predicting things by mouth. Someone would say something, and I'd tell them what was going to happen future-wise.
Okay. Can you give us an example?
I'd have friends, and they'd be talking in the restroom, and I'd just come in from after class, and I'd say, "So who's the guy?" And they'd be like, "How'd you know we were talking about guy?"
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, okay. So then that led you into probably wondering yourself a little bit about how you're able to have such an intuitive gift, okay? So let's take a look here. At the age of 15, I believe you're talking about you had an encounter on, were you at home on a couch? Go ahead with that story.
I was at my mother's boyfriend's house, and I was sleeping on the hideaway bed. And I woke up to find an old man looking straight at me.
An old man. How old would you say he was about?
Oh, 70s at least. His head was very wrinkled. You could see the liver spots on the top of his scalp, the thinning hair, and you know, he had over suspenders and a plaid shirt.
So when he was looking at you and you woke up, I would imagine you were pretty startled. Did he have what kind of a look did he have on his face?
It wasn't mean or fearful. It was just kind of like, why are you here?
Oh, so he looked at you in curiosity as to, did you feel at the time when he was looking at you that, did you get the sense that maybe you were in his house?
Yes, yes. It was also at times you'd smell the cigar smoke from the rooms and so on, and that kind of led you to believe that you were in somebody else's house.
Okay, so you bring up a good point. A lot of times when some of us are alone, and I'm sure many of you listening right now have had an experience like this, you might actually have a very familiar smell that you smell. Some people smell perfumes. Some people smell body odor. Some people do smell cigarette or cigar smells. It just so happens that just recently, as odd as this story sounds, I was sitting at my table in my kitchen, and we do not live on a farm, and it just so happens that I had a very intense farm smell just kind of hit me. It was like kind of, and I felt like it was kind of like a heavy, heavy smell feeling or whatever. I mean, I felt really like it was heavy. And for a moment, I wasn't quite sure where it was coming from, so I just kind of stopped for a moment. And it just so happens that we had this lunar full moon thing that happened a few days ago, and this was like 3 days before that occurred. And most of us who have been following me, I may have mentioned it on other programs, know that you are likely to have paranormal activity 3 days before, during, or 3 days even after a new or full moon. So you might ask me, well, then who do you think this smell, who it was or where it came from? And I would be guessing, but I would either imagine, I lived on a farm as a child, and my dad always came in, and he was always had that barn smell on him. It was either my father, who recently passed within the last couple months, or it was possibly the man across the road who murdered his family back in the Civil War days. And I really don't know, but it only lasted about a minute. So, Sammy, does that sound like something when you smelt this cigar smell from this man, and you've smelt it many different times? How long do you think it lasted?
Oh, a good 5 minutes at least. And it's strange because no one was allowed to smoke in the house. No one was allowed to even light a candle or even one of those scented stick thingies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other question the listeners might ask would be, are you sure that this smell of past didn't like embed itself into the walls, and that just the circumstances or the environment was in such a condition that maybe it possibly came out of the wall just from past? Any thoughts on that at all? What are your thoughts about that?
I highly doubt it. There was a fire in the house at one time, well, a couple times, but each time it would get a thorough cleaning afterwards.
Okay, a thorough cleaning. Okay, so it's not. It's probably pretty unlikely something was emitted from the wall or within the environment or from the carpeting, because I'm going to assume that the flooring, what was the flooring type in the house?
Shag rug.
Shag rug, okay, so.
But the basement was completely concrete.
Concrete.
And a lot of times it would happen in the basement.
Oh, yes. We all know about our attics and our basements, don't we?
It was a full live-in basement.
So. Okay. Well, that's interesting. Okay. So we're putting pieces together here. Putting pieces together. I think you also mentioned to me something about dogs barking. What was that story about?
I slept in the full-size basement. And my dogs would sleep with me. My mom and her boyfriend would often go off on trips while I was in my senior year of school. It was round finals, and you know how stressful finals get. Well, I was trying to get some rest after I'd studied, and I was trying to get some sleep, and the dogs kept barking. And I was getting aggravated. Finally, I yelled at the dogs to shut up. And all of a sudden, I heard, you don't need to tell those dogs to shut up, they're fine.
So that just came right out of nowhere.
Yes, because like I said, my mother and her boyfriend were gone. No one was in the house. No one was around the house. And this was like right next to my ear.
Mm-hmm. Right next to your ear. Did it sound that man that you described earlier, what could it be the possibility that it was this man that you had?
The voice kind of felt like it matched what I saw before.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really guessing it was.
It was.
It kind of felt like him.
So when you heard this come out, did you feel very unnerved and startled by it?
Well, yes, because, I mean, you get yelled at in the middle of the night by someone you can't see.
Yeah, that would be unnerving to me. I don't know what I'd do. No, that's good. But and his voice was muffled a little bit, but you could still make out the words, right?
Oh yeah. And you could feel like the it was almost like, you know, a stern father yelling at you.
Yeah. Did this person that, or this entity that had been in your home, did he ever call you by your first name?
No.
No. Now, in some cases, and then there's many of you out there listening that have heard these stories before, where someone will actually have their name called. Now, that I think would also be as unnerving as having a one-sentence conversation with somebody. But for the most part, did that scare you enough where you didn't want to stay in this home anymore?
I never really felt unwanted. I kind of felt like I had a babysitter.
A babysitter, okay. A ghost as a babysitter. Well, you know what? It is possible, okay. Expand a little bit more on that.
I felt as if I was being looked after, almost like it was something like protection or safety. Because, I mean, I never felt unwanted. I never felt so scared I wanted to run out of the house. I always felt comfortable.
Yeah, so in some cases, some people would be very, very nervous. In your case, it's almost was more of a comforting feeling that someone was around, but you could tell that this was not a... I would say, would I be right to say that it wasn't a demonic energy?
Yeah, not demonic.
No, just someone who had an attachment to the house, obviously. Or we are assuming the person had an attachment to the house because he did you say he built the house?
Yes, he built the house back in 1974, I believe.
Oh, 1974. That wasn't that long ago. So what she's trying to, I think, illustrate here is that you don't have to... when do you think he passed away?
Oh,
did you ever look into that or research that? No.
No, it wasn't long after my uncle, or my mom's boyfriend, sorry, bought the house.
Okay. All right. So now we have this gift. This gift is you're actually hearing, you're smelling things, you're feeling things, and that kind of leads us to the age of 17 when you had talked to me about some kind of a Philly story. Why don't you elaborate a little bit on that? Do you feel like now that you, now through since 14 that your gift is actually progressing?
Yes. When I was 17, I worked at a grooming shop in town because that helped me pay for things for my senior year. The groomer was very nice. She used to take me over to see her horses, and she had this one pregnant brown mare. Well, I one day made the comment and said, that brown mare is going to give birth to a little filly who's going to be all black with one white star snip. And she looked at me and says, how would you know that? And I said, I just feel it. And about 3 o'clock one morning, I get called out. And she says, you're coming with me. And she brought me down to where she had her horses stored. And sure enough, the filly was all black with a white star snip.
Was it on its nose?
Yes.
Yeah, interesting. How many people can actually predict that? Now, I'm not very familiar with horse breeding, but you said this came from a brown horse.
Yes.
Is this a common?
I didn't know what the stallion looked like.
Oh, the stallion. Okay. All right.
And I guess the stallion was brownish.
Oh, brownish, and it came out black with the white snip. Now that's interesting when you think about it here. Okay, so now you've got that predicted. I believe that you also talked to me about you're in a room and a plaque or a photo flew off the wall.
At this point, I had graduated high school and I moved in with my grandma to help take care of my great-grandma. She was starting to hit the first stages of dementia and Alzheimer's. And she's kind of elusive and not elusive, so she slept a lot and so on, but we took care of her. Well, at the time, my sister had moved in too because she had just gotten out of my dad's house. And my grandma let her come in. And we were sitting in the living room talking. And all of a sudden, a picture flew off the wall. Apparently, my grandma says this is of my great-grandpa. Mm-hmm. And fell underneath my uncle's shoes.
That's interesting. It went underneath your uncle's shoes. Okay, do you think there was a connection between the picture that was on the wall and why it flew underneath your uncle's shoes?
I think it was just a way of making a statement because we would have counted it off as just falling off the wall if it hadn't made an extreme, you know.
Yeah, had to make a big impact. So let's go under someone's shoes here. Did the picture break?
No.
Yeah, that's the
most. It landed face up.
And face
of all
up.
All things. And,
yeah.
And my grandmother said it was a very old frame and should have busted. And the glass was very old and should have busted.
Yeah, should have busted, yeah. Yeah, I find that to be very interesting. Of course, when we were talking about this earlier, the only thing that struck me, and I've mentioned this in probably one of my first episode shows, I had asked, "What do you think there's the possibility that the conditions, again, were right, and that the picture was in what we call a ley line. And for those of you who don't know what a ley line is like, it's kind of like a strip of energy. It's like, if you can imagine an electric pole, and you've got the electric lines going from one pole to another. Well, there are ley lines that a person cannot generally see at all, above us or through our homes, that can at certain times when the conditions are right can affect certain things in the home to twirl, twist, fly off the shelf, and do very mysterious things like that. So do you think that there's any connection here of the possibility of a ley line?
I don't know. I've never mapped out ley lines, but it was odd that the behavior and always feeling like there was a big, thick male presence left when my grandma left for a nursing home.
Okay. Interesting. Very interesting. So we've got pictures flying off the walls. Excuse me. One of the things that we're also talking about is, since you've got this gift, does anyone else in your family possibly have this gift?
My sister has had several things happen to her as well.
What are some of those things that you can tell us about?
When my sister was young, I'd say about 15, we were sitting in the house. All of a sudden, she went white and started freaking out to a spastic mount. She actually had to go to the emergency room. She said she had just seen a whole family sitting behind us.
An entire family sitting in a living room? Or
in the living room behind our couch.
Behind your couch. Okay. Did she describe what this family looked like?
Somewhat, but it's been a while, so I don't quite remember all of them.
Okay.
But she was certain she'd seen them like as clear as day. And it freaked her out to the point where my mother had to take her to the emergency room.
Oh, interesting. So did she ever indicate or mention to you what they were doing, or were they just kind of sitting there in a daze? Were they interacting with each other?
They weren't doing anything but just standing there.
They were just, were they standing there?
We were sitting, they were standing.
You were sitting, they were standing in the living room.
Yeah, just standing there looking at her.
Did she ever say how many people this involved? How many were in the group?
Four or five.
Four or five standing there. Were they looking right at you, or were they looking at each other?
They were looking right at her.
They were looking right at her.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would probably have to go to the emergency room, too, if that was the case. You have a whole family staring at you, and you're wondering why, okay? So ever since that experience, had she ever seen anything like that ever since that day?
Yeah. Yeah, my when we were living together at my grandma's while we were taking care of my great-grandma Cooper, she walked out to the barn. And she came back and told my grandma, we need to tear that thing down and walk back out. Well, she no longer than got close to it, she looked up and there in the hayloft area and could have swore she saw a woman hanging.
Lovely.
She didn't tell me this.
Yeah.
She just sent me out there.
She just sent you out there to see if you could see something, right? So you go out there.
I get this ultimate strangling feeling around my neck. I come in, I said, my neck is killing me. It hurts. It's like somebody is pulling a rope around it.
Hmm, interesting. And she had then shared with you
that she saw the lady hanging in the barn.
And she saw a lady hanging in the barn. Was this in the hayloft area?
Yeah, up there where you would have that little wheelie thing that would lift and carry the
hay down. Okay, by the I don't know what you call it, but the what do you call it? A rotating wheel or something
pulley.
Pulley. Yes, that's what I'm getting at. Oh my goodness! So now she sees what was the woman wearing?
The woman was wearing older clothes, and she had like buckle shoes.
Oh, interesting. She saw down to the shoes too.
Yeah.
Could she get a good vision of her face?
I don't think she did. I think it was more shadowy.
Shadowy, yeah. Interesting. So we've got a family in the house. We got a woman, deceased woman, hanging in the barn. Something else you mentioned was you found something in a wall.
When we lived in Wingate, we had a house that house that my sister saw the family in.
Yep.
We used to find little trinkets and things in the walls.
Trinkets in the
wall. We had to take the walls down to put insulation in, because at first it just had hay in the insulation.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, that would
the
be
house was
that
crappy.
That would be interesting, wouldn't it? Hay in the insulation. Probably didn't do very much for the insulating part.
Oh,
so you'd find trinkets in the wall. Did you ever study these trinkets? Did you ever hang on to these trinkets?
For the longest time, I've lost it recently. I had a coin, and it was about 2 inches diameter, And it had Abraham Lincoln on, which was always cool because I loved Abraham Lincoln because we share the same birthday.
Mm-hmm.
But and recently I've lost it, so I don't know where it went.
Okay. So it's, to me, it sounds like you've had an awful lot of experiences. Anything recent? Anything happened to you recently,
well,
especially with that moon thing going on?
2 weeks before school started again. Well, 2 weeks before school started, my grandma started getting sick. My dad's mom. And I stayed with her the last week. And before that Friday of the week after, I stayed with her. Well, while I was staying with her, she was doing, the doctor said she was doing okay, but she, her kidneys had already shut down and everything. They didn't know how she was still doing alive. But that Friday, I got extremely, extremely sick to vomiting, nausea. I couldn't even stand the room.
Hmm.
I ended up throwing up all over the cafeteria.
Oh, interesting. So you were in there. Well, do you think it was because of your nerves or anxiety that caused this?
Well, I'd been there with her a week, and I've been fine.
Hmm. And then all of a sudden, you're starting to get really violently ill.
As soon as I got home, she died.
Oh, interesting. Well, I think we all know, too, that sometimes in the presence of someone who's passing, not always will they want to pass in front of somebody. And when they get their opportunity or their window, that's a lot of times that's when they'll take that opportunity and go, especially if they're in a, been very sick for a long time. And you had been with her quite a bit and finally had...
I was diligently watching her.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Like a hawk, making sure the nurses took care of her and she got rolled properly and she got her vitals checked and...
Yeah, yeah. Again, she probably, especially if her spirit is at a point where she probably didn't want you to see her pass... That was her window of opportunity.
Yeah. It's just strange. As soon as I left the hospital, I felt fine.
You felt fine as soon as you left the hospital?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is kind of... Do you think that... Well, we all know, too, that in hospitals, there's obviously a few deceased that hang around. Do you suppose that there's the possibility that you were sought out by some other individuals that had passed away that had been actually roaming that hospital, and they knew you were probably intuitive enough, so they came to you? Do you think there's a coincidence there?
Might have, but like I said, I didn't, I just felt, I'd been there for a week, and I was okay.
Mm.
And I didn't sleep because I never sleep in hospitals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. It kind of reminds me of when my dad was passing away, when I was in the hospital with him. Oddly enough, there was a little black box on the wall that they would put the syringes in or something like that. And the lid of the syringe box was actually, the woman came in and did what she needed to do, and then she put the syringe in the box. And the cover of it was left open. So I know what you're thinking. Oh, I know what's going to happen. Well, yes, it did slam shut. But when I went over to test the box... to see if it would have been could easily drop on its own and slam. There was no way at all, at every single angle, point, push, you name it, that it would have, it had fallen on its own. In fact, I knew that it was probably pushed. The question, of course, at that point when things happen like that is we all pass it off as part of our imagination, or it's just part of the instrument or the equipment or whatever, and so we just put it out of our minds. And of course we can't be so paranoid into thinking that every little sound or every little ding or tap on the wall is something paranormal either. So, it gives you something to think about the cues that are given to us, when they're given to us, and why they're given to us, because not always in the presence of my siblings would any of this stuff happen. But of course I'm a sensitive I'm not probably as sensitive as Sammy here, but anyone and ghosts have a tendency to hang around me continuously for whatever reason, show up, leave, whatever. I might not think much of it at the time, but I'm sure like you, Sammy, you either know right away that was something probably paranormal or something that could have just been simply a coincidence,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, it gives us something to think about. Well, Sammy has given us a lot to think about today. She reminds us that sometimes our mind is can be so in tune with the universe that we are actually able to channel through our sensitivities. She reminds us that when we attempt to debunk our situations, that we must first look at the conditions around us to determine what could possibly be setting up an encounter. She has identified for us the difference between a residual and an intelligent haunting. And again, do you think that the man who showed up, do you feel that was more of a, we know a residual haunting is when it's like a playback. They come in and then they leave. Okay, but they're not necessarily intelligent, meaning they don't even know what's going on in front of them. Would you say that man that you talked about at the beginning of the interview was more intelligent, meaning he was very...
Oh, definitely intelligent.
Yeah, conscious of what...
Because, I mean, I felt watched all the time, mm-hmm. And then when the reaction of the dogs barking was like, okay.
Yeah, you can't deny the fact that even though they might sense something residual... Just everything that she had mentioned, from the words that came out of his mouth to, the things that were happening within there. Yeah, definitely something we have to think about, residual intelligent haunting. And, of course, she has reminded us that sometimes we simply do not know where our gifts come from. So many of you out there might feel relatively sensitive, and you might question yourself, where is this coming from, or is it a coincidence that it happened? But... As Sammy has told us, sometimes when things do fly out of our mouths and things get predicted and we exactly don't know where they're coming from, we do begin to wonder how these gifts are actually created within us. Well, thank you for chatting with us today, Sammy. I'm sure the audience will have a few takeaways from your experiences. Keep in touch with me on anything new that happens. And again, we appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me, and it's been a pleasure.
Yep, thank you.
Let's take a break. When we return, we will move into segment 3 of the podcast known as Ghosts in the News. This segment will be reported by a voice talent who will share with us an interesting ghost sighting witnessed by everyday people around the globe. Stay tuned.
Welcome, everyone, to segment 3 called Ghosts in the News. What ghostly ghouls are lurking in your area? This report by Mirror News entitled Chilling Mystery White Figure Seen Standing in Same Victorian Theater Where Actress Died on Stage from Heart Attack, posted January 17th, 2017, takes us back in time to 1904 at the Biddeford City Theater, located in Maine. An unfortunate circumstance. An actress by the name of Eva Gray, aged 33, collapsed and died from a heart attack following her third encore to a demanding but appreciative audience. The article provides a photograph of an unexplained figure wearing a white dress walking up steps inside the Victorian Theater. The mystery shape is also imaged looming over the stage where it is believed Eva suffered the fatal heart attack. Unfortunately, Eva Gray's daughter, aged 3, was sitting in the audience as her mother succumbed to her immediate death. The photographs of the ghostly images are so clear that it is nearly impossible to deny their authenticity or possible recreation. And that is our ghostly moment in the news.
Let's take a break. When we return, we will move into segment 4, entitled Maynard and Mildred. Stay tuned.
Hello, Maynard. What's the matter? Haven't seen a ghost today? Maynard, science can't explain everything. Maynard, just because you can't see me doesn't mean I'm not here.
Today is a big day. We are having a Valentine's Day party at school, and I'm making a special Valentine for my friend.
Hello, Maynard.
Holy crap, Mildred. What are you doing here? I am designing a special Valentine's Day card for my friend. Here, pass the paste. Oh, never mind.
Maynard, maybe you should stick to purchasing a card from the store.
Mildred, don't be ridiculous. I need to create the perfect card to express my love.
Maynard, who is your love?
Mildred, I can't tell you. This is a secret Valentine. I want my Valentine to be the most noticed.
Why?
Because, in the end, the Valentine of my dreams will be mine.
How insulting. I thought I was your girlfriend.
Mildred, I can't even see you. What do you look like?
What do you want me to look like?
Mildred, I need to concentrate. I need to add some glitter to this card.
Here, Maynard, let me help you.
Oh, no! Look what I mean, you... Oh, no, have done. There's a whole bottle of glitter on this card. Ugh!
I like the landscape effect there, Maynard. The mountains are particularly interesting. Good thing you put a lot of paste on that card first.
What can I do to save this card?
What did I say about maybe buying a card from the store?
I know how I'll fix this. I will paste some heart-shaped candies on it. I like these little hearts with words printed on them.
Maynard, what does this one say on this heart?
It says, Mildred, be mine. Hey, wait a minute!
It does have a ring to it.
Here, let me find another one. This one says, XXOO Mildred. I don't even know what XXOO means.
Do you think your friend will give you a Valentine card back too?
I hope so, because this is a big competition.
Do you want me to help you eliminate some of that competition, Maynard?
No, please don't. It would give me an unfair advantage. I prefer to rely on my charming personality to win my friend over.
Oh, brother. Whew! Maynard, I think I'm going to just take off. Have fun finishing your lumpy Valentine's Day card. Don't eat too many candy hearts, and I hope your friend chooses you as their Valentine. Let's meet at the movie theater next time, okay, Maynard?
Let's take our final break. When we come back, we will hear segment 5 entitled
Life Beyond Death,
as narrated by a voice talent who will take us to an alleged haunted location to explore the mysteries of one or more energies that are still
hanging around.
Stay tuned.
Just when you think you are safe from the world around you, you suddenly realize that no matter where you go, you are not alone. Welcome to Life
Beyond
Death. Our journey takes us to the haunted Jerome Grand Hotel, located in Jerome, Arizona. The building, now a hotel, has a historical reputation for being haunted, even during the time it was the United Verdi Hospital. The United Verdi Hospital was built in 1927, a state-of-the-art modern hospital that served the copper mining town of Jerome. The hospital was built to withstand blasts of up to 260,000 pounds of dynamite, which could be felt from the mines.
the hospital closed its doors in 1971. Guests who stay at the hotel roam the building hearing unexplained talking, coughing, hard breathing, moaning, and cries of distress from pain as reported on every floor. It is believed some of these manifestations originated from the deadly flu epidemic, which caused a high death toll even before the hospital was built. Here are a few commonly reported ghostly occurrences. 1. A bearded apparition, probably a minor, likes to appear on all floors visiting the living when at times he likes to play with the light switches. 2. A ghost of a 6-year-old boy likes to visit guests on the 3rd floor, smiles, and disappears. 3. Footsteps can be heard going up and down halls and stairs. 4. Ceiling fans turn themselves on and off. 5. Locked doors are unlocked during the evening hours. 6. Doors in hallways and bathrooms open and close in front of guests. 7. Maids who are cleaning the rooms are teased by the entities who like to get a laugh at their expense. 8. Names are called. 9. Contents, especially in the gift shop, fly off shelves. 10. Chairs get rearranged. 11. A plaque lifts itself off its nail and flies to the middle of the lobby carpet. 12. The main desk in the lobby gets phone calls from empty rooms. 13. An apparition dressed in a fine white dress appears on the stairwell. 14. Claude M. Harvey, who was found dead in the basement, died when the elevator pinned him to the ground, crushing his head. He has been seen in various places in the building as an angry, shadowy figure. Feel brave enough to stay at the Jerome Grand Hotel? What ghostly encounter might you experience before you realize that you are not alone? Thank you for joining us this evening. Dr. Schutz welcomes your emails and paranormal stories. Visit her website at www.paranormaluniversalpress.com for contact information, or go to amazon.com to view her books, searching under Paranormal Encounters. Subscribe to this program by clicking on the link on her podcast page to follow upcoming episodes. Thanks for listening. Take care, and until next time, be careful what you wish for. The script, vocal talent, and music compositions in this podcast program are copyrighted. As a disclaimer, this podcast episode or parts thereof may not be reproduced, reposted, or transmitted in any form without the express permission from the producer and company, Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. Any opinion or claim made in any podcast episode by the host or guest does not necessarily represent the viewpoints of Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. Properties mentioned in any podcast are publicly known to be haunted or have been discovered to have unexplained occurrences. If you are a ghost seeker, please take precautions and respect people's properties by not trespassing.